You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
In Los Angeles, it's your girl Monique Leray. This is The Startup, and we've got a new set. I'll be working it out as we go along and adding and taking away of some things, but we have a new set, and it's a little chilly today in Southern California, so I've got the fireplace going, and we've got some Michael Solberg here, so maybe we'll sip on that a little later when Leah comes out. Today we have some interesting, amazing, successful guests, and we're going to kick the show off right away. This man needs no introduction, but I'll give it to you in case you've lived under a rock for the last few years. You've heard all his songs when you went out to the club, roller skating. We have the Gap Band Experiences, Raymond Calhoun. Raymond Calhoun. Oh. How's it going, Raymond?
How are you, Monique? Nice to see you.
Nice to see you. You're in the studio. I can see it. What are you? You're cooking up something good? What's going on?
I'm always in the studio working on music or practicing or doing something related to music pretty much 24/7, you know. I just got back from visiting my daughter. Nice. And I said, let me get in here and get online with you. And most of my computer stuff is in my studio, so.
How's
Raina
doing? Raina still got that short bob?
I'm sorry?
How's Raina doing? Does she still have that short bob that we love on her?
Yeah. She cut her hair short. She's doing well. She's working a lot during the COVID. I asked her today, I said, are you working during this? And yeah. She said, yeah, she's with a good agency, and she's doing print work now, so they're working pretty steady every day, actually. So,
and if you guys don't know who we're referring to, Raymond has a beautiful daughter who is talented and beautiful, gorgeous, and she's modeling and acting and, you know, working that space in Hollywood. And people are going to have to follow you on Instagram, but let's do the formal introduction. In case people don't know who you are, why don't you go ahead and tell people who you are, Raymond?
Okay, so I was the drummer, one of the drummers for the Gap Band for probably 3 decades, since 1979 until Charlie Wilson went solo, pretty much. And I pretty much on every album from 79 on, I wrote with a Big Standing, which is a big, big song for the Gap Band. I was the writer on that.
So huge. And I used to roller skate to that every weekend as a kid. So.
Oh, yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, you know, and I toured with him for many, many years. And, right. Yeah, it was a good ride. You know, Charlie decided to do his thing, which is right. Good. You know, he's doing well as Uncle Charlie. We all just moved on into other directions. I'm currently working with the Daz Band. You know who the Daz Band
is? That's huge, everybody. Everyone has to know the Daz Band. What song would people know if they wanted to look it up right now?
Let It Whip. You remember that song, Let It Whip? Whip it, baby. Whip it, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got a Grammy for that song. So
absolutely.
Everybody should know that song for sure. So I'm working with Bobby Harris over there with that. While I was working with the Gap Band, I was when the Gap Band wasn't touring, I would tour with the Daz Band. So I have a pretty long relationship with them and wrote some stuff on a couple of their albums as well.
Sounds like, you know, you stay busy between the two, and you have some other private projects to work on. And you and I have kind of tried to collaborate on some stuff in the past. So what, you know, and here's the thing, Raymond, I'm glad you're available right now. What do you want to tell, like, young musicians and artists right now who are trying to get in the game? I know that you've learned a lot, you know, from trial and error. What do you want to impart on people who are looking to get into the music business?
Well, you know, when I was, you know, when we were doing it, I say, you know, in this from the 70s and the 80s and 90s into the 2000s, you know, mainly the 70s. And what it is now, you know, we actually sold records. We actually played instruments, you know what I'm saying? And we were recording an album and you get 12, 13 songs on an album. Nowadays, it's totally, you know, you can buy one song from somebody's album and then buy somebody else's song. And you know, so it's a total different market now, total different game. It's all this streaming and, you know, everybody's learning to do everything from YouTube. Everybody's, you know, streaming their music on all of the different platforms and all that. And, you know, and it's kind of discouraging to a lot of musicians to not, you know which, you know, which direction to go. Because
right.
It used to be, we were considered R&B, rhythm and blues, soul, funk, but that's not a category anymore. You know,
it's, I always saw you guys as funk, by the way.
Yeah, you know, us, the, you know, Cameo and Gap Band and the Barcades and Confunction and the SOS Band and the Daz Band, all of us, we would consider those funk groups, you know what I'm saying? So there's not really a market for us in a sense like that anymore. But the younger kids are coming into the age of rap and what's considered pop music, pop rap, or whatever you want to call it. And you asked me what would I say to the younger kids? I would just say this long, just persevere like myself. You know, I've been doing this a long time. My first group that I played with when I was 19 was the Manhattans. You know,
really?
I was 19 years old when I got my first gig with the, you remember the Manhattans? Let's just kiss and say goodbye. You know, real music, you know what I'm saying? Real songs and real music. And I was with those guys and Peaches and Herb. I was with those, with Peaches and Herb, you know. A lot of young kids don't know who those groups are, but, you know, those
are kind of their music, right? I think what you're saying is the originality and the, you know, the talent of making music with instruments and learning the craft has kind of been lost in the reshuffle and the re-edit and the auto-tune. And those tools are great to enhance things, but maybe not for the whole song. Is that what you're, I think that's what you're saying from you.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying. And yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I'm just saying, it's not like it used to be. Like for us, it was easy to just go and play our instruments and go do gigs and, you know, do big concerts and stuff. Nowadays, it's not like that. You know what I'm saying? A cat will do a record and you never tour, never go play a club gig. Probably a lot of these artists don't even have any experience touring and playing in clubs or, you know, that type of thing. And we did all of that in our era. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is don't get discouraged because of that. Keep at your craft. I would say develop your craft. If you're an instrumentalist, I can only speak from an instrumentalist point of view because I'm not a rapper. I don't know what they do. But from in terms of people that want to learn to play the instrument, guitars, pianos, drums, what have you, to just stick to it. You know what I'm saying? And I think that eventually that it's going to turn around. It's going to recycle itself to where, you know, musicians like myself and players will become important again. You know what I'm saying? And
you guys are always important. We need you, so I don't want you to. But that's a great takeaway. Stick with it and get better at it. You know, Raymond, the show's called The Startup, so we look at this as like startup business, right? And what you say, having more skills, being able to play more instruments, is that adding value or is that taking away as a musician? Would you say?
I think it adds more value. I think it adds more. You want to be able to be, also, you don't want to just be a person that can just play an instrument and that's it. You know, you want to be a writer. You want to be a publisher.
Okay.
You want to be a producer. You want to be a player. You know, all of those things to make your business, you know, for what you do to make your business. You know, it's always good to be talented at all those other types of skills, you know what I'm saying? So myself, I was lucky enough to be a writer and a drummer and a multi-instrumentalist, you know, and singer. You know, I sing a little bit too. So, you know, I crafted all of that into my own, you know, sound and my own writing ability, you know. So I would say that writing is the key, and don't just say I'm gonna learn an instrument and that's it. You got to develop that craft into other instruments, other abilities like writing and producing, and learn to parlay that into publishing and, you know.
Yeah. Do you think that the platforms nowadays are an additive? I know that there's like some streaming apps that you can buy and license music. You know, YouTube, of course, Vimeo. I mean, there's so many platforms to put your talent out there. Do you find that that's an additive for someone trying to get started, or do you prefer the old?
You know, the old school way is obsolete now. You know, the old school way is obsolete. Nowadays, like I said, people don't physically buy records anymore. They stream. So, you know, if you have a way of putting your music out there and getting it streamed and making your income from the streaming through all of the platforms, that's absolutely the way to go. Because record companies, to be honest with you, are becoming a thing of the past. People are doing their own thing. You know what I'm saying? They're putting their own product out. You talk about entrepreneurship, they're doing their own thing, you know what I'm saying? And they don't need to have the big record companies anymore, you know, giving them big budgets to do stuff. You know, people are learning and finding ways of doing it themselves and not having to.
That though, right, Raymond? And, you know, we always see Capitol Records off the 101, you know, going in and having that publicist and that wraparound service of a management company. It feels good, right? They send you on tour. Walk us through that process that maybe some of these artists that are self-publishing are missing out on.
Can you say that again, Monique? 1 minute. I'm having a problem with
no problem. Yeah, no problem.
Word is breaking up on your
no problem. So I was asking, walk us through that experience of having a record company kind of give you the wraparound service and having the publicist and, you know, the touring. What was that like to have that?
You know, I'm just coming from the, I had my own deal back in the 80s, like, for example, on Warner Brothers. So I have had my own deal, but mainly I was a side guy with the Gap Band, even though I was pretty active, involved in stuff with them. But I saw how it ran. I always paid attention to how the business was running. And I know that record companies, you know, they gave tour support. They promoted your records. They, you know, did everything from buying you cars and your homes, but they would own them. All of that, all of the above. But, you know, the artist didn't own it all, and everything was recoupable. You know what I'm saying? So they put up money. They put up $300,000 to make your videos or promote your tours or do your albums. They got that money back off the top. If any money was made, they were the first person to get the money back. You know what I'm saying? So the artist would go, well, where's my royalty check? Well, we recouped $300,000 of the money that was made that we loaned you to do all of this. So that's how it was. And nowadays, these kids are
kind of fun, but then it sucked. It sounds like
kind of fun, but it sucked. You know, you come. Right. You put in all this work to put an album out that was a success and went double platinum, and all of a sudden you realize all the royalties are gone because of the record companies recouped everything.
Wow.
I mean, they recouped everything.
Really?
You wanted to drive a fancy car, they recouped it. If you wanted to have a big house or had fancy parties and events or whatever, they recouped it. You wanted to have the fancy tour bus, they recouped it.
Wow. Well, how did you maintain your status and your talent? You're talented no matter what. How did you, with everything being recouped and changed on you, what smart moves can you share with us that you made and that you're sitting here and you're still relevant?
Well, my thing, like I said, I was a side guy. Let me say it like this. I was a side guy with the Gap Band. Charlie, Ronnie, and Robert were the actual artists. They were the ones that actually got recouped on. No, yeah. I can't. Now, I had my own deal with Reggie Lucas, you know who he is. I was a part of a group with him, this group called Sunfire. We were on Warner Brothers. But even in that situation, it was Reggie's situation, and all of the expenses that were put against the group, he kind of had to absorb all those expenses, and it didn't hit us. But I still paid attention to how it worked. So what I'm saying is I didn't experience it firsthand myself of being recouped like that. Now, I might have experienced it firsthand when it came to songwriting.
And that's a whole nother rabbit hole. You and I, we'll have to talk about that.
Like back in the day when we used to record for Total Experience, the way they wanted to recoup the songwriters' monies were that if they wanted you to turn in 12 songs a year, okay, you turn in 12 songs a year, but you had to record those songs in their studio. So you would record those songs in their studio, and if you're in the studio 12, 13, 14 hours, and, you know, they charge them by the hour.
Yeah.
By the time your royalty check comes around, it was like, well, how come this much money's missing? Well, we recouped that money because you had a cost of producing these songs for us, for our company. And in our case, with the company I was with, we never got a royalty check anyway. So it was kind of crazy. You're looking at somebody that my first number one record, I had a number one record in 1983, and that was outstanding.
Right.
And I didn't make a dime.
Oh, wow. Really?
I didn't make a dime.
Wow. What? And that was because of all the recouping? Oh, that's the thing we're going to get into.
Just the recoupment, but the fact of the matter is that the guy that owned the record company never paid his writers their money.
Oh, boy.
And I don't have I don't have to mention names. People know it by knowing the history. He was just in the habit of not paying his writers.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And that's, you know, that's the disheartening part, you know, when you don't link up with the right type of people. And I feel like because this is the startup and we're about businesses, I think, you know, there's room in the market for someone like you to mentor up and coming artists to avoid those situations and to get as much as they can out of their art. I mean, do you think that there's space in the market for something like that?
Absolutely. You know, a lot of kids they hadn't experienced that, and I'm not the only one that never got royalties, believe me on that one.
Right.
There's, you know, a lot of artists and writers from that era that never saw a royalty check.
Wow.
Because of the way that their contracts were structured, and the fact of the matter is it was a lot of gangsters running the game back in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they just had that ability not to pay you and kind of dared you to go and sue them.
So now, well, I'm glad you've gotten away from that and you've been able to survive and thrive and you're
traveling. So I've been able to.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm saying all that to say, too, that after I'll give you an example. After 3 decades of me, of somebody else making money off of one of my biggest songs, you know, I don't know if you know, but Outstanding is like one of the most sampled R&B songs out there.
Ever.
Yep. And for many decades, 3 decades to be exact, I never received my publishing share on that.
Wow.
And somebody else did. And they didn't even write nothing on this shit. Excuse my French. Nothing on the record.
Oh, first year, it's fine.
And they made money off of my work, my hard work for 3 decades. Well, recently, I don't know if I've told you, recently in 2020, in March of 2020, I was able to retain or get back or retrieve, or whatever you want to call it, recapture my publishing rights and my copyright rights.
Congratulations, Raymond. You guys, this is Raymond Calhoun. I don't mean to cut you off. We got 5 minutes left, Raymond. We're going to have you come back and dig deeper into this story.
Absolutely.
you know, it's successful what you've been able to do and get your rights back and your publishing rights. Congratulations. Plug your Instagram, Twitter, and where we can find you if people want to follow you with the Dazz Band.
Yeah, my Instagram is RCALH, like Harry, number 56 on Instagram. And my Facebook is Raymond James Calhoun on Facebook. I don't have a Twitter account. I don't do that.
Okay.
But I'm doing a website now for my new band. I'll have that up pretty soon. And you can follow me on the Dazz Band. The Dazz Band is on Instagram as The Dazz Band.
And I love it.
You can follow me on that.
What do we have to look forward to in 2021 with you? What should people
be some good things happening. I got some people with some huge names that are over in England that I'm going to be working with. There's a group that's about to get started with myself and a couple of huge names. This idea just came about in the last week or two. I was presented this idea. They want me to be a part of it. And it's going to be like a super group of American and British musicians. I don't want to talk too much about it yet until I know that it's a done deal.
Love it. Well, we're crossing our fingers over here because there's a lot of talent in London. I was just listening to Faithless right as I was rolling into the stream today. And I've got about two more minutes. I want to put you on the spot. Do you want to play something out for us? Maybe a little...
play something out for you.
Oh, you got a little... Want to sing a little something out for us?
I'll save that for, let's just say this. I got some new music coming.
Ooh.
It's going to be part of this new project that I'm talking about. And I'm trying to do a solo record as well right now. And that's going to be coming as well. I just been working on stuff. I'm one of those people that just try to put it out when it's ready to go. I don't like to tease anybody with it. Until I know it's ready to go, you know what I'm saying? So,
with the quality.
That way, you know, it hits you like boom, you know. I've always been like that. So, but you'll be the first one that gets a copy of whatever I'm doing.
I would love it, Raymond. You'll have to sign it because, unlike what you said, I have albums all over this place.
You got like a library.
I got albums all over here. I like the cover experience. I like the, you know, the vinyl experience just for like visual. I think it's fun.
Yeah, I hope vinyl comes back. Vinyl needs to come back.
Yeah, totally. The DJs love it when you go and see a set. People, you know, enjoy that experience. Yeah. Oh my, you guys, we've got Raymond Calhoun from the Gap Band Experience and the Dazz Band. You're coming back to bring fresh music, and let's do an announcement on that British American merge once the ink is dry. We would love to have you back.
Absolutely. All right.
Thank you, Raymond. All right.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. I'll be seeing you real soon.
All right. Thank you.
Bye. All right, you guys. That was Raymond Calhoun from the Gap Band Experience and the Dazz Band. He's been traveling socially distance, of course, with the mask. You'll have to find him on Instagram and check him out and see about this new album that he's going to release. I mean, if you've ever heard of Outstanding when you used to roller skate or went to the club, or you've heard it sampled on everybody's albums from many generations. So type in Outstanding by the Gap Band on YouTube right now and give a shout out to Raymond and all his talented, his castmates there, his bandmates. All right, I say castmates because I'm a producer. What do you know? Speaking of which, you guys, we're going to get our next guest on in just a moment. But as you can see, I've got my fluffy little pandemic project documentary pillow. I want to shamelessly plug my project along with my producer friend, Jinfi Stanley and Christopher John as narrating talent. You can check out the supersized trailer on YouTube. Just type in the pandemic project documentary. And you'll see 7 minutes and about 58 seconds. It's super long, ridiculous long. But you know what? Last year was a long year, and it had a lot going on. So we crammed it all in there to revamp what we've survived, okay? And, you know, a lot of things happened, and we're here together, and we're moving forward in that new year. And I'm going to be working on my step and repeat sign, which is over there. So you'll see that. And I've got my toasty fireplace, like I mentioned before. It's a little chilly here in Southern California, but we're doing all right. Want to give a shout out to Michael Solberg Family Wines. And I think we actually have the owner of Michael Solberg Family Wines, Leah Solberg. Leah, woohoo! How's it going? Hi, beautiful. How are you?
It's going. How are you?
I'm doing good. I know that, you know, the new year, I haven't seen you. And we got the rosé. Oh, we have a little sound problem. We can't hear you. Oh, sound? Okay.
Can you hear me?
Now we can. All right. What were you saying, Leah?
All right. So I love your new place. This is great. What's
that? Thank you. The sound is going in and out. The sound is going in and out. So maybe we can get Leah back on.
Huh.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, let me see what.
Yeah, she's gonna come right back, you guys. She's gonna disconnect and come right back. But I want to just plug Michael Solberg Family Wine, second generation. Her father, Michael Solberg, founded this in the late 70s, early 80s, and now Leah Solberg is the second generation winemaker in the family. This is a really great priced wine. It pairs well with the wine glass, right? So cheers to Michael Solberg. Now, you guys, it looks really fruity and really sweet, but it actually isn't. It is kind of, we call it a brosé because it looks feminine, but bros can drink this with a steak. So Michael Solberg Family Wines, check her out, Michael Solberg Family Wines. And she's got four varietals, Merlot, Rosé, Red Blend, and we have, oh, here she is, Chardonnay. All right.
Hi.
Hello, love.
I'm back.
I was plugging your drink, and saying cheers to you. Happy 2021.
I know. Well, we're going to, I guess, me without my wine glass. I set it down.
He got you covered over here. So talk to us.
But cheers.
But cheers.
To a new year.
To a new year. Oh, my goodness. So in case people aren't familiar with you, you're one of my best friends, and you happen to be a winemaker, and you happen to be awesome, and I bring you into everything I'm doing, and vice versa. But go ahead and introduce yourself and tell people about your brand. Can you tell us?
Yeah, like you said, second generation family owned wines. We originated in Healdsburg, California, which is Sonoma County. We're now producing out in Napa here in the last couple years. But yeah, just navigating through the changing, the ever changing wine world, and you know, having fun doing it. So. Yeah. And I love working with you, and I'm really excited to start brokering with you down in the Los Angeles area. So anybody looking for Solberg, excuse me, it's a barnyard around here. I can't even tell you. My rooster's going to crow here in just a minute.
That's right.
It's a real thing. Yeah, but anybody interested, please contact me or Monique in the LA area. We'll get you Solberg Wines for sure.
And
any questions that you ever have, please don't hesitate to contact us. We're Michael Solberg Wines, everything on social media. You can find us on our website, Michael Solberg Family Wines. We're more than happy to answer any questions and help in any way. If anybody's ever wanting to do their own varietals of wine, I can help with that as well. So
private labels, we're
private
into
labels.
That.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be our thing this year because I feel like there's so many talented people that are getting into wine or
right.
curious about it or drink a lot. And they're like, hell, I might as well have my own damn label. And you've successfully helped WWE star Carmella do
Correct.
Her.
Yeah.
On your brand, right?
That yes, and it's been going great. We've been picking up a lot of momentum. This year it looks like we're going to get even more distributorship. So that's kind of like the wholesale market, which is wonderful. So that will be easier for people to go to their local stores and be able to find it. And
yeah.
then also you can find it already on online capocania.com. We can add the link, I think, later on, but if you look up Carmella Leah Vendahl, you will find her wines linked to her. And they've been exploding. We've been featured in a lot of magazines and wine enthusiasts and yeah, all sorts of fun stuff.
Working on something cool with that too, with the points. I, you know what? It's one of those wines that's just so approachable. Not just because you're near and dear to my heart, but I'm a self-professed wino, W-I-N-E-A-U-S. And I'm pretty so precipitate about what I'm putting in my glass. And your wine is always consistent. Whenever I put it in anything, any event, people are like, where's the Solberg? Shout out to SSG Gallery. They just got a bottle of Solberg here in Laguna. And a shout out to Leo and Tina over there.
Yeah, they're awesome.
An art situation over there. So we're going to get some Solberg there in Laguna Beach here on PCH. But going back to your point, Lee, I think we should dive in a little deeper into this. So I, as a lot of you guys know, I have a company called The Wine Caterers. And the subsidiary, I have a couple subsidiaries to that. Host at Home obviously is tabled because of the pandemic. We don't want people hosting at home, any parties right now. But we will get back to that hopefully in the next few, whenever we can get it back on.
Sooner than later,
but I want people to be healthy, happy, and well, and then we'll do it. So, but right now, Wino Swag is kicking off. I've got some gear here from Wino Swag, you guys. Now, we're launching the Etsy page, and I don't want anyone to get offended, but this one says, I survived 2020 with a wine glass by the Wino Swag. And this one here, because we did. We survived one way or another. We made it. I survived 2020, Wino Swag. So, you know, we're going to do some tongue-in-cheek apparel. So follow me.
I get one of those shirts, right?
yeah. Did I send you one? Yeah. You're one of the only people on the planet that have it. So we're getting more. Yeah, you're getting one. And we want to dive into Natural Born Song, which is a subsidiary of the Wine Caterers. So I'm distributing Capocagna and Michael Solberg family wines in the Southern California area. Orange County, because I live in Orange County. Los Angeles, because I work in LA. And we're also going to do San Diego. We're close to Temecula. So those are the areas we're focused on this year, right? I mean, tell people more about what your wish list is for the distribution in this area.
Well, you know, the more the better. No. But you know, just anybody who's interested in a really great by the glass, or just really great bring the bottle to the table, everybody's gonna enjoy it kind of wine. You know, if you're looking for that for your business, that's who we are. And you know, we're brick and mortar. We've got our family you know, dynamic and story behind all of our wines, and we've been around for almost 40 years. So at this point, you know, I think we have a little bit of an idea of what people expect a California varietal to be, which is real fruit forward, easy drinking. Unless you're looking for, you know, your big cab and your, you know, your bigger reds. I think with it, especially the whites and the rosé, you know, just being real fruit forward. That's what people really want from
that, guys. I mean, speaking of fruit forward, she blends the wine. You know, you source the grapes from all over the Southern California area, from San Joaquin up to Napa and Monterey and everything in between and down below and up above. So
they're
sourced grapes, and congratulations on the San Jose location. Tell people more about that.
Okay. So yeah, well, the Larkspur area is where we have our tasting room. It's been closed because of COVID, you know, recently. But as soon as we're back up and going again and, you know, regular society, that will be back up and available for people to go down and taste our wines and get a great, you know, cheese board to go along with it and sit there and socialize again, which
things we take for granted. I mean, I'm starting to talk to myself so much, I'm expecting myself to answer. It's getting out of hand now, Leah.
It's me, myself, and I.
So you guys, we're going to be rolling out here really soon. I know that you've been sold out because you guys, the supply and the demand have been so great with Solberg, and people are drinking at home more. But what if people were going to be ordering, what's the delay expectation time? When will we pick it back? There's no delay right now, right?
Right. No, actually, yeah, we had a small delay after Christmas just because things were flying off the shelf. But yeah, we're back up. we're running. We just bottled our 2019 Chardonnay, so that will be going out next week. So yeah, that's exciting. And you know what's really cool about, especially, you know, our wines, is that we do get to source all over from like really great growing regions. So while the nuances are always the same, you know, the artful part about it is creating these fantastic wines from each year, you know, and tasting through the fruit and seeing what's going to work for our brand that year. And I'm excited for the 2019 Chardonnay. It's tasting great. Really, really great. And I think that people are going to really enjoy it. And, you know, and that segueing to like our reds, they aren't big reds, you know, they really are as well with our white and our rosé, very fruit forward. So you can drink those reds without having to have, you know, a steak or anything really. You can drink it by itself after a long day work or with some friends, you know, on the weekend. It's not going to blow your taste buds apart and, you know, make it so you have to...
Two different bottles. Huh. Yeah, if you needed to do a dinner date with friends on Monday, right. You still need to be more sober on Friday.
Right.
Taste buds won't be blown.
Right. I really feel like we're a great jump off wine for anybody as well. You know, so if you're new to drinking wine, we're also great for that. I feel like it's a good way to start approaching California wines. So, yeah.
Yay! I'm excited. I know that the I'm very well versed with the 2016s. We got those down, and I want to say thank you so much. You guys, Leah Solberg and the Michael Solberg team worked in a hurry to get us multiple cases of wine for this next weekend charity with Casa LA. She was super generous, and thank you so much. I know that that's not easy during a pandemic and limited, you know, shipping and staff and being sold out after. So I just want to say thank you so much from the bottom of my heart and everyone that's helping. It was really generous for the wine and art.
Well, you know, Casa is really near and dear to my heart as well, because I actually worked with Casa in the past personally in the adoption of my second son. So, wow. I mean, supporting that charity and what they do for families and children is, you know, amazing. And these people are like angels, you know, walking around helping these kids. And any way that I can support that kind of, you know, charity and people and what they're doing for our kids, I mean, I'm all in. So I totally
personally, I didn't know that about you. I just learned this about you. Right. I knew that you loved them, but I don't think you ever shared. So it's just breaking news, you guys. And we love your family and your sons and everybody. So shout out to that. That's what works. So, you know, I think between you and I, we have like a busy schedule this year. I know we're going to roll out we're going to reach out to the Laguna area and get all these restaurants your wine. But the good news is a shout out to another sponsor, La Casa del Camino, historic hotel here on PCH in Laguna. My friends over there, thank you so much for everything, for this channel and for letting me come
to visit.
Yes, and so speaking of a visit, you guys reach out to La Casa del Camino and tell them Monique LaRae from the Startup on LA Talk Radio sent you, and they will give you the pandemic getaway, the pandemic staycation. And we're going to do something special hopefully very soon with them, with Michael Solberg Wine. So you'll see SSG there and their beautiful artwork, as well as some Solberg Wine, courtesy of the wine caterers. So we're working on that. So shout out to them. And I know that Valentine's Day is coming up, and that's a pretty big holiday for wine as well. Which wines go really fast for Valentine's Day, do you think?
Well, Cabernet is always a good one. You know, you're going to have your steak and your lobster, right? Treat your woman right. And so Cabernet goes great with that. Chardonnay is wonderful. That's a great way to start out. And then you can move into the rosé, you know, move into a little Merlot or pre or post dinner. But, you know,
Merlot goes down too smooth, Leah.
It does.
Like, oh, my God.
Can be dangerous.
I have to do this. Oh my God, I just love you. Well, I'm excited. I think that end of the year we'll be back to the cheese boards up in Heddlesburg, and I will be joining you there, and maybe we'll do a live podcast from there doing some tasting.
That would be wonderful. Yeah, I can't I cannot wait to see you. It's like been way too long. I just
Well, I'm gonna come see you anyway, even if I have to see you from like way over there. Because right. A secret I wanna give out is that Leah's gonna be in the upcoming Pandemic Project documentary, giving us winemakers' point of view and other point of views from
Pandemic. Right. So. Yeah, the last time we talked, I forgot to mention the Pandemic Projects. I'm like, oh, got to mention that this time.
But, I love
it. I'm so proud of how much you, and just the, you know, I really love the fact that you bring the story not from your own narrative, like your own, like, opinion, but you let the story be its own story, you know, and it's not really agendified. I really appreciate that, and I'm looking forward to see the final result.
Thank you for being a sponsor and a sister in the corner when I'm in the airport doubled over crying because I don't know next and stressed out.
Right.
You know, female entrepreneurs have to stick together, especially the ones that, you know, I look at your family, you are, but your family in multiple ways, like your family in business, your family in art, but you get it. You effing get. Here's an idea. How do I make it reality? You understand.
Right.
Thank you for your support. And yeah, our intention was and is to feature everyone and their experiences last year and still following. It's been a crazy time, and I don't need to put my opinion in it. There's enough human experience out there to showcase. So if you haven't seen the trailer, check it out on YouTube, the Pandemic Project documentary. And I want to just tell everybody before we go, please follow Leah Solberg on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. Where can they find you, Leah? We got 2 minutes.
We are on, TikTok, Michael Solberg Wines, Instagram, Michael Solberg Wines.
All right.
Facebook, and then Michael Solberg Wines online, www.michaelsolbergwines. So,
all right.
Any of those will work.
Thank you for being here. I love you. I can't wait to see you again here in a few weeks before Valentine's, or maybe right around. And guys, I just want to tell you, please look at, check out my Instagram and my Facebook. We're now casting for the international version of the Pandemic Project documentary. It's called the Pandemic Film. So we're going to give you the international version. The American chapter, we're done with. We're going for
the international version.
We're starting at kicking it off February 21st. Myself and my castmate, Christopher John, he'll be the narrating talent. It's just a two-man team this time. We're going to go Mexico City, Bogota, Colombia, and Rio de Janeiro starting February 21st. And then we're going to go all around the world. But that'll be the first city we go to, the first three cities. So if you have a family, if you know workers or business owners in these areas, email us. Cap Aquarius Media, that's Capricorn and Aquarius, capaquariusmedia@gmail.com, or the startup with Monique Larray at Gmail. Follow me on Instagram at Monique Larray Stinson, or the startup, or Cap Aquarius Media. And I always ask you this, and I hope you have an answer. What will you start up today? Be well with each other, and we'll see you next weekend. Have a good day.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Larray, only on LA Talk Radio.